it's the Merrill Road Station does respond, but that doesn't take away from the fact that during the summertime, they may not be there. When are the people at the lodges during the summer? So, Mr. Press.
I've been keeping track of each page, right? To make sure. Can we go back to page 15? It seemed like we skipped over that one. Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to.
I just went really fast because I'd already covered it.
Thank you.
You got it. We did participate vigorously. Those of you who were involved at all in Cherubie or under Canvas projects that were planned by the and approved outside of the district boundaries, both of those big projects, big resort projects, listed our fire department as the responder, and Tuolumne County Fire that comes from Jamestown, and the Merrill Road Cal Fire Station when they're here. But primarily, those were approved based on the fact that we're going to respond out of that station. Again, here I am, the board saying, don't let that happen. So we're thinking about, future development is really causing us grief in that way. It's going to cause us to have to expand the services. And we didn't have any way to offset that cost. The district can't implement a tax outside of its boundaries. It can't implement really a fee that we can charge and make sure we're going to get paid. We can't rely on any source of revenue for things outside of the district boundaries. So what we did immediately, because I kept getting questions from county administration and board members, how much is it costing? What do you guys need? So we did a fiscal impact analysis. We had a financial consultant come in and look at the money that flows in and the amount of cost. What does it cost to provide that service to each unit of development? And so that was calculated so that I could pass that along to the county. And at the same time, we could plan for our own future, because at the time we had subdivisions that were being proposed, we had resorts being proposed, we have 500 and some odd vacant parcels that were all going to add residential units to the mix. And so we did the fiscal impact analysis report to determine what that looked like. So, one of the things that I've heard a number of times, and if you can't tell by the amount of material and analysis we've done, it's pretty frustrating to hear the district didn't get any input on any of this stuff, because it started in 2018. It was, and I'm not pushing, I'm not angry, I'm just saying, it's not easy to get people in a room. I mean, if we, until they get upset.
We're here.
I know. So we updated the master plan. The master plan said go to the county, seek funding. We did that. We adopted the deployment standards in June of 2020. And then from each board meeting from June of 2020 to May of 2021, we had this item on the agenda. And most of those were Zoom meetings as well. Many of them were in-person meetings and Zoom. And we had nobody. And it was really frustrating because it went out on social media before and it went out on social media afterwards. Let me finish. I know we can always do a better job. Okay. So when I get, this is the view from Pete at this point. Okay. I'll let you ask the question. That's
why are you not changing the time and meetings so that people can attend at this time?
Love to.
You have on Tuesday, the second Tuesday of every month at 10 a.m. And most of the time there's Zoom meetings.
That's a good point.
Please repeat the question.
The question was, why don't you change the time of your meeting so it's more convenient for more people to attend? It's the second Tuesday at 10 a.m. And so we'll definitely take that under consideration, because it's not something that people have voiced. I mean,
it's been changed in the past several times, and people did not attend. So we can continue. We can look at it again and see what we come up with.
We're definitely going to change something.
Yeah.
You know, because we tried with social media and some other things. Let me get through this and then I'll take any question.
Wait a minute. Yeah. You just made a statement that said you couldn't get people to come to the meetings regarding this. If you would have advertised it as a Mello Russo special tax, people would have known what a community facilities district was. Nobody knew, and you never called it a Mello Russo special tax.
Not a Mello Russo, so get that out of your mind.
Okay,
sorry, what?
Just, not a Mello Russo, get that out of your mind.
I'm there now anyway. the conflict. So there, you know, I talked about the things that we went through. We, you know, there are very few things that we can do as a government agency to secure an ongoing source of revenue to be able to fund the level of service into the future. Because we make a commitment to CAL FIRE for 3 years. We try to figure we're going to do fees or something that may not be, we may not be able to collect, then we're going to have difficulty of providing the service. So there are a number of things that we looked at, and we went through each one of those in detail over those meetings, from development impact fees to community facilities district to fees for response for service. So here's the last couple slides. The district in July of 2021 finished the formation of a community facilities district consisting of an annexation area. A community facilities district is formed. It is an area. It's formed under the laws of the state of California in the Mello Russo Community Facilities District Act. It's not the same as a community facilities district that is able to go out and borrow money and build infrastructure and fund things based on bonding and then tie it to the property. This is a very specific, separate body of that law that just allows people to annex into it when they develop. It does not have anything to do with the existing properties. Other than if you have a vacant parcel and you're going to build a house, you would annex in to the district and you would be subject to the tax. If you don't, if you're an existing property, you're not subject to the tax unless you annex in. And that means you'd have to split your property and have two parcels and build two houses. It means that
get a building permit without annexing yet.
A building permit for what?
To build a house.
To build a new house?
Yes, no.
No.
Can't. So you are forced to annex into this.
You let me finish this, and because we got a lot of questions now. Okay. And unfortunately, when we started asking and answering questions, we don't hear the rest of it. Because what it is it applies at the building permit to undeveloped and newly created parcels. So it's at the building permit, and if you have a residence, you have a commercial building, you're not going to see this. It's only for increased demand on the services. If you look at the fiscal impact report that was done, it's only based on new development, adding new people to the mix. Hang on, let me just finish, because I got way too many questions. It's hard for me to pick and choose. So and this was chosen because it's a very widely used method to be able to only receive money from new development projects. And it can only be charged for funding expansion of the service. We can't replace the funding that we have. You can't push it off on new development to replace the funding that we already have. We're gonna leave the fire department the same size, but we charge everybody a different rate that annexed in. That's not legal. So it's only to fund those additional staff in the future. That's all it does, is pay for the cost of the additional staff. And as you can imagine, it's not going to come in fast. We might have 10 in a year, we're not going to be able to hire people for a while. You know, not going to be able to increase that budget because we're in the negative. So that money's going to have to go into a reserve until such time as we can, we have, you know, have enough development to be able to have the staffing. So last slide. what it doesn't apply to are properties. No parcels of properties are currently included in it right now. Okay, we still have to work out the details with the county because it has to go through the county building permit process. So that if you're building a new house, then it would apply through the county building permit process. We can't fund the existing service costs. Or I said that the existing developed homes, commercial properties, hotels, etc., are not eligible to annex or pay the tax. That's not what we're looking to do. It's new demand on the services so that we have a fund in the future. So the CFD does not, will not, cannot apply to construction that doesn't increase the service demand. In state law, we have to have a nexus test. That's a fiscal impact report. We can't just say, oh, it impacts it. You gotta have a rationale, a direct link between the need for additional services and the amount you charge. And the new service demand comes from new development. And so if you're pulling a building permit, business renovation, home improvement, new garage, accessory dwelling, and adding bedrooms, rebuilding your home after a fire, that it's not going to apply to those types of activities. It's only for those who are building a new property. So, building a new. Okay. Now, how are we going to start with the? Let's see. To me. Okay. We'll see. We'll find out. Just remember, we don't have anything to wipe it down with. So don't put your lips on it. Your questions? Go ahead.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. It's just you got older for that.
Is that working?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess my question is, you've shown us all of the deficits that you're in right now.
Yeah.
The losses that you're in right now, and the money that's short every year. My question is that from new development or old development?
That the slide that I showed that had the equation of what we receive in property taxes and what it costs us per residential unit, Yeah. It is negative just as it is today.
Right, and that's from buildings that exist, correct? That are paying taxes.
It is, yeah.
That's not from something that's going to be built in the future. Correct.
No, we're already in
so
the deficit.
So you're losing
yeah.
money, DCSC,
yes.
we
yeah.
are losing money from existing properties.
Yes.
Not new construction.
Correct.
So then my next question is, of course, the county, we tried to pass a tax.
Right.
That didn't pass countywide to fund us. So was the source looked at for getting taxes just from this area instead of all of Tuolumne County on existing properties? Not trying to throw all of this on new construction, but balancing it out on everything that exists that you're losing money for right now.
It's a really good point, and the answer is yes. This does not generate the revenue to be able to expand the fire department. This is not going to generate the revenue to fill the gap. With the community facilities district.
You need revenue for an existing property.
Right.
That's your problem.
I know. So why
aren't we really focusing on that?
We will be. We will be. That's the one thing that we heard really clearly throughout the entire process in talking about responding to new development was that new development needs to pay its own way. Why are we subsidizing
but
new development?
But it doesn't need to pay for everybody else's.
But they're not, they can't. They can't pay for everybody else's. They're not. No, they're paying for their own costs. They're not going back and.
To make up a shortfall that already exists.
Just for that one property, not for the whole district. They don't go back and we don't multiply that $250 times all the developed properties and then make that up. We can't do that by law. So it's just that, just, okay. So it's, we can't make up.
You're asking the developer to cover their costs.
Right.
Also cover costs from your losses that exist today from current properties.
From their property, just one, not from all. That we don't take into account the whole deficit and then divide it by the new parcels. We'd have to sit down and go over the math because
Well, how are you going to make up the shortfall then that you have already?
Well, one way is hopefully we're going to see more property taxes come in with increased values. That's not an absolute given, but we hope to be able to do that. If there ever was another special tax proposal, because again, this only applies to new development. If that were successful, it would be much less because we're not having to subsidize the new development that happens in between. We're looking at response fees as well. Response fees are charged, for example, to an insurance company for a vehicle accident where we charge for the manpower of the vehicle, the equipment that's used, to non-taxpayers is the normal way to do it. So in other words, you got transients, by transients I mean tourists coming in, get in an accident, you bill their insurance company. It's relatively impossible if it's just a person to try to bill them and get collected. Some people will pay, some people won't, or just, and then you've got to have billing clerks and everything else doing that. But it is another possibility if it went countywide, and there was a coordinated effort with it. There were a couple of questions over here. Thanks, Spencer.
In regard to his point, you explained, you touched upon it, but as a district, if I'm not mistaken, the only two things that we can go forward with at this point is either tax in the district, which you touched upon, or an assessment. Is that not correct?
Well, I had it, whoops. Limited options. Sorry, I don't need to. My brain is just all over the place right now. Impact fees, impact fees, the community facilities district response fees that I just talked about, which are charged to individuals that we respond to. Special taxes and property assessments. That's the primary one that most entities have. We're an anomaly actually right now. Service provided by others are either directly or under contract. In other words, if we contracted, if the county contracted with us for services outside the boundaries, that's not an unusual circumstance, and that would feed into both the existing deficit and to fund new people.
I just meant his trying to spread the hurt across everybody.
Yeah.
Basically, it's either a tax in the district.
Right.
Or an assessment on the existing property.
Right.
Owners.
Yeah. Other than the other source of revenue I talked about. Okay, you bet you had that for a while too. Sorry, if I don't pick you in the right order, I'm trying. I don't want to see the hands up.
Hi. First of all, my question kind of pertains to talking about staffing and costs. And first, thank you, Cal Fire. This question is nothing against you. I recently moved home, and so I'm glad everybody's here at this meeting. I moved back from Eastern Shasta County. And there we were part of a volunteer fire department. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had a chance to read the full master plan and all the different changes that have gone on. But I am curious to hear a sort of a shift. We talk about, distributing the cost tax base wise. In the past, our community used to have a volunteer fire department. Things change, right? Ebb and flow. Things change over time. Now we're seeing an influx of new residents. And when we were in Eastern Shasta County, our volunteer fire department was staffed with 12 people, mm-hmm. And in partnership with the county and Cal Fire. And the majority of those calls were medical calls. And based on our geographic proximity, that volunteer team with majors generally helped lessen the load by responding to medical calls. So my question is, has there been discussion for sort of a shared resources volunteer base for medical response if numbers really come down to cost and staffing and geographic proximity? I think about Rush Creek and everything. Yeah. Everybody's rushing to Rush Creek and we have no one locally. Where, I mean, have we thought about other options?
Yeah, for we actually have. And that's something that Chief Murphy and our crew have been working through. The difficulty is the volunteers for the firefighting end of it. It just is, the training requirements and all that has left most agencies.
Right, we
didn't vote. Okay, so it looked like in 2012 we had 15 volunteers on the roster. I'm not sure if they were real and active or not, but it's been diminishing throughout the county. But we have talked about potentially transitioning to a rapid response vehicle type, because when you look at these numbers, 85 out of 100 times we go out, if we were zooming out there with a rescue squad that had a person on it and tools and everything to get to deal with that one person, lift assist, whatever, the things that suck up our resources, it's definitely possible. We got to look at it from a business perspective and see, how much does it cost? What are the staffing requirements, training, all that? But yeah, it's absolutely, anything we can do to make this thing work. This is just based on that one model. John, and then I'll come back over here.
I think, how are you? We've had, I don't know how many hours of discussion over the years on the fire issue, and I'm going to say it, I'm 100% supportive of what we can do to try to generate funds to increase the amount that the service district gets to fund Cal Fire and Baldwin County Fire in general. I have taken a sabbatical for about 11 months, and I honestly haven't been engaged in reading much. And just this morning, I Lita handed me some stuff and I started reading it. And I think my biggest problem that I was looking at was the relative sticker shock. Now, am I correct saying that it's about $2,700 a year per parcel? How much is it a year that a person that would be annexing into the district?
On the community facilities district.
Right.
Okay. I'm gonna drop out of this. It's $1,600 and some odd.
$1,609.
Okay. And that's for fire only?
Park and fire, $25 of it is for park.
Okay, and then the rest is for fire. The
rest is fire.
Okay, so I'm not gonna argue with you on the amount. I'll just take it for what you said there. Because I've researched it. The thing that I faced for 12 years as supervisor is the fact that Baldwin County has no housing. We've been economically stymied because we don't have any place to put people. I'm sure you have employees at the service district that need a place to live, but when I managed my mom, like, had the same problem. When I look at, I just pulled up a quick census of quick facts for Baldwin County, and the median income for Baldwin County is $60,000. The median cost per housing unit is about $1,748 a month. So if I add the other roughly $150 more a month on top of that, what I'm afraid is at that cost is going to exacerbate the problem that we have as far as building houses. Now, I don't know how many employees in the service district make $60,000 a year. I don't know if it's one, two, or all. But if we're going to increase the housing within Baldwin County, which I 100% know that we have to do. Adding additional costs in this particular way is going to make it almost impossible for someone on the entry level to build a house. You've got $2,500 a year roughly for insurance. You got the cost of lumber. I'm sure if you haven't bought a sheet of plywood lately, you know, you look at it, $60 a sheet. So I don't know how this particular formula or scheme is going to help build housing. But I'm going to say I support the money going to the fire department, but I just have a hard time correlating the two together. Say, I want to build a house. You know, I think Piedmont Lake has over 500 empty lots, possible 500 houses out there.
Right.
I don't know. So it's just, to me, there's a disconnect. There's a big need. And then we had the additional cost. I know what we tried to do on the county level is reduce the cost. And it's almost impossible to do. You know that as a service to do. That cost goes up. So I'm just throwing this out here as a food for thought, kind of the process of thinking about, are we shooting ourselves in the foot, going this foot? Do you know when, how many houses you're going to need to be built in order to go over the curve, in order to make it a benefit for the district?
We need more.
That's right.
We need more than what's already in inventory.
Right. So, and your primary source of income for the service district is what?
For the fire and for
no,
the
no, just the primary source of income for the service district is what?
Property water. Taxes and loan rates.
Yeah, selling water and sewer.
Yeah.
You sell water and sewer. So the more water that you sell, the more income you will have. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that benefits that side of the district. So what I'm feeling is that we're looking at doing something that is going to hurt the other side, because people are not going to be able to build these lots right now. I mean, not in maybe 10, 15 years, but I don't know. Anyway, that's all I got.
There was a question over here first.
Well, first, I appreciate your effort in supporting our fire department and all your work towards trying to solve a very difficult issue. When I first saw the rate increases coming, I quickly researched the formation of a community facilities district, and the first thing that popped out to me is it has to be voted. Was it voted on?
That's what I was trying to make the point with. Within the law, there are different means of enacting the community facilities district. This is an unbonded, so we can't issue any debt. We can't get any loans and pay that back with this money. And it only applies to new development. It doesn't apply in general. It doesn't apply to the property owners that are, you know, if you have a property and a house on it, you're not going to pay it. And so the only people that are affected by it and those that are voting on it are the person building. Now, they can come up with a different source of revenue if the community facilities district is something that they don't absolutely aren't going to be able to do. But it's difficult to come up with something that a trust or something that produces that amount of money per year. It's kind of a complicated equation, but it's called a landowner community facilities district versus I don't know what the other one's called, but we do have the consultant in the background that might be able to answer that question. I prefer to do it offline. I know, just because it's more complicated.
Is there some kind of
It didn't need to be voted on because it's a landowner. It's just based on new development, and it doesn't apply in general to the properties, to the voters.
Is there some kind of document that states how your CFD, what the formation actually is?
Yes.
And how it works? Because if you go into CFD and you just look at the way they're described, that's not the way they're described.
That's the majority of them. The majority of the CFDs have been done to finance infrastructure
and why and services. Was that not ever put out? I have not. I've been going combing through your GCSD.org site. I have never run across a statement that describes how your CFD is set up.
It's, I mean, just call me. If you can't find it, if you're wasting your time, call me. I'll lead you right to it. Or Rachel will. Anybody in the office is on. We've got it all. We've listed all the documents on the website. We did a Q&A. I think I linked the answers to the questions to these other documents.
Your documents are constantly being updated. I go in and one day it'll be one thing, the next day it'll be something totally different. So I've been working on this whole situation since August, trying to backtrack and figure out what you're up to. And every time I go in there, there's new documents. Some documents aren't there anymore. And it's a constant flux on your site. So,
but now, not on this page.
That's
not on,
good. That's
not
good.
On the Community Facilities District page. Okay. I loaded them myself personally. We set them in there. The only thing that's going to be updated, and it will be as a result of this too, is the Q&A. You know, obviously, additional questions, additional things come up. You update that. We'll have a date on it so you can see them consecutively in there. But
that would be good. You don't date anything. If something's changed, if you post something that's in an agenda that has changed, you don't keep the old document in there. You don't show a date for an updated document. I don't see how that can be something that cannot be audited.
Okay. I'd love to talk to you about what you're finding and
okay.
Because we've got very competent people to fix it.
Okay.
Guaranteed. Okay.
First of all, you're okay. Thank you. Okay. Hello. Good evening. Good afternoon. I'd like to know why a notice wasn't sent out to vacant property owners in the district informing them of this tax, because there are approximately 525 vacant lots in Pine Mountain Lake. Many of those people years ago bought their vacant lot and they're working in the Bay Area or other areas, Modesto, figuring they're going to come retire up here. You have a responsibility. You have missed out on notifying people, notifying realtors who have to disclose when they sell vacant lots. This has not been done. This, to me, appears, in my opinion, to be underhandedly done. Now, as far as the fire department is concerned, you need to have a special assessment. We want these guys. This money is not going to help our current fire department. And if you do a proper fire assessment where the property owners can vote what the property owners pay and not just registered voters that might be renters in an apartment or a condo, you will most likely pass a special assessment. So that is my suggestion to the board of directors, because it will pass. We've had special assessments in the past. So, and if you get back to your committee meetings, if you would have a committee meeting on this fire assessment, you'd be surprised how much support you will get from this community. I don't think there's one person in this room that does not want our fire department. We need these guys.
Thank you, guys.
Back there, but hang on real quick.
Okay, thank you.
Who is it?
No problem. Norma Powell. Mike, we've talked about the fire, but that's not all of this assessment. This assessment has to do with RV park projects, demolition, redevelopment, all of that. Is that the part of the acreage that was just procured up above here by the district?
No, it does.
So that 37 acres isn't part of this?
No.
Okay, so when you come back to your administrative fee of $77,000 of oversight, you already have that under Groveland Community Service District, the administration fee. So if you're talking about CAL FIRE, is that what we're referring to?
No, that's built into the amount that they charge us for the five staff. their administration. What's listed separately on the budget sheet there is, you know, we have to provide insurance for them. We have to, you know, we have insurance for the building. We have 5% of my time and office staff time, you know, in processing all of the financials and everything else, because they don't do the financial accounting or any of that. There's some of the purchasing, the small stuff that they do, but project planning and everything else all falls on the district. We don't have a separate source of funding, and we can't pay for it with water and sewer rates. So what we do is each year we budget for the total administrative cost, which is the administrative office, all the administrative staff, and all the general overhead expenses. Then that's divided out to water, sewer, fire, park, based on the percentage of administrative effort to keep that service functioning. Because if it was a separate community services district, it was just fire, you would have a single full-time employee, but we were able to split it between all of the services.
So during the peak time that they are not fully staffing this, are we saying that we have 5 to 6 people that are hired separately just for the GCSD firehouse?
I'm gonna let one of these guys explain how that's staffed. I think that's really important. We need a microphone for this guy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Andy Murphy. I'm the assistant fire chief for Berlin CSD as well as County Fire. And yes, there are 5 full-time staff that are paid for by your tax dollars that fund and or that staff the fire station and respond to the emergencies, as Mr. Camp has pointed out. Did that answer your question?
Well, that is in addition to the $250,000 that we're getting Amador, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That so, you used to, the district used to pay Amador. Now the county pays.
Okay. So now we're no longer paying that.
That's correct.
So then why do we have a problem?
I'm sorry, I missed it. We used to the Amador?
Yeah. We're not
oh, that. Because let's. I mean, we can go to the.
No. But if we're not paying Amador,
right?
Then how are we having a problem?
Because it's the. I want to make clear. Let me just do the one simple math. 1.1 million in, 1.2 million out, just for the Schedule A contract.
Yes, but he just said the county pays that.
No. Schedule A is that station. Amador is that station. And just during non-fire season.
That was my question. So what are we paying for this station during the peak time that they are not staffed?
No, we pay for it year round. That station is our station. That would not be staffed if we didn't put your property tax dollars into it. There would be nobody there.
Okay, so you made a comment about $250,000 not having to be paid because they staffed it for year round.
That's that station.
Okay.
And the county.
So that $250,000.
Yeah.
We didn't have to pay, correct?
Correct.
But we took that $250,000 and bought property. Well, we can't pay our fire and
no,
our park.
No, that's not it at all.
Okay, what
we should, we should.
That's part. Should that's buy. All part of this.
No,
though,
it's
right?
not. No, this is this. There, this had nothing to do with the purchase of any. I don't know.
This is your
what you're reading
six
from.
Items.
Hang on.
Just formed the community facility district. What this means.
Oh, but it's not. But that's not, that's just the things that are authorized under law. That's not what, that has nothing to do with, there's no park improvement project planned with this because we can't do projects with this money. All we're funding in park is that $25 deficit that we're not covering. Just like we talked about with the fire, it was 200 and some odd thousand dollars. That the revenue is short of the expenses in park. So park is it's $25 of this equation, $25 a year.
How can we be short in park and purchase $250,000 for property?
That's a different project. And it doesn't have anything to do with the community facilities district. It has to do with revenue generating activities in the future. to cover that deficit and to keep from having the tax or propose a tax. So this, but I don't want to get confused with this, with the community facilities district and the and the fire service being the majority of that. I'm sorry, hang on. We've got in the back and then over to Mark. Thanks, Spence.
Okay.
We're in the runner.
So in your NBS report on page S4, the projected revenue from the improvement impact fees is 1.6 million to the Park Service and $508,000 to the fire service. So that's a 34% revenue to the park and 25% to the fire service. Why is that? You've just gone through this whole explanation how dire the financial situation is for the fire service. Fire is essential. Park service is a luxury.
Okay, so we can't arbitrarily establish those amounts. That's what I was telling you before, is we have to do a fiscal impact analysis. So they look at the budget. They look also at the amount of developed park acreage. Okay, so if you read that report, that's a little more complicated report. That's not the community facilities district. That isn't
about the community facilities district.
No, that's that you're what you're reading, and that's why I didn't want to get the two of them confused, because they're extremely complicated. The development impact fee is for the purchase of park and fire equipment and facilities, the structures, the land and the structures, the development of those facilities. Okay, that's the impact fee, separate, because the community facilities district doesn't pay for that. It just pays for people and the operating expense. So it's two
separate. That's not the way the report.
Yeah, it is. Believe me, I've lived it for the last 2 years. So I that is exactly what that is. What you're the difference in those numbers is the fire. All we're doing is purchasing an engine and expanding that facility, okay? If we were building another $8 million fire station somewhere, or purchasing many millions of dollars of equipment in addition, that number would be higher, okay?
But didn't I see an estimate for the engine was over $1 million in the report?
But they can't just, you can't take the total cost of that and divide it by the empty lots. You divide it by the number of people that new residents produces. It's all, the report is really specific about calculating the demand. It's a really complicated process to get to the end result of calculating the demand of a new residential unit. The new residential unit is charged the
job.
That's too many numbers and too many things.
27, 30, 31.
Right, but that's, so that's, we can't recover, just like we talked about not being able to recover the cost deficit for everyone else. We're not, we can't recover those things just from new development, because there's a benefit of that to existing as well. And at some point, we're going to have the revenue to be able to buy that engine. It's, you know, because, okay, so let me get to the park calculation. The calculation of the park was, when you look at population loading, the amount of people that are potentially going to use the park.
I know you've got some astronomical numbers. One paragraph knows this is that there's a lot of second home, and then later on in another report, you base your numbers on a permanent residency. The LAFCO, yeah, I think the LAFCO report bases those numbers on a permanent residency.
LAFCO is a completely different thing that doesn't is not in this, in these fiscal impact analysis or the development impact fee report. Those were two separate financial evaluations. And you're right, it is, I was surprised, but we did a survey of other park and rec districts throughout the state that that gave us the amount of cost per acre to build park facilities. Because if you don't plan, if you don't, if you don't plan for the future, then pretty soon you've got every lot developed. You've got commercial facilities that are feeding people in to go have a sandwich in the park, whatever. Pretty soon you have no benches and tables because you've got people that have started to use that facility to the point where you can't get to it.
Hang on,
please let me finish. Okay. So again, this is appropriately saying that that new residential unit has this demand on park facilities. So you have land to purchase in the future, or the value of the land that we already own, and you have the cost per acre for improving it for access, you know, and for developed facilities within the park. So those two numbers come together, and yeah, it's more expensive than I thought it was.
But how could it not be equal funding the fire department?
Because it's two different equations, it's two different methodologies.
Is that how you're going to fund the RV park campground?
Let's move on. Please.
Mr. Canepa, could you please turn your overhead on and show me the CFD page?
I'm not absolutely certain why this went to sleep, but just let me in. Oh, I'm powering off. That's perfect. Hang on, Mark.
Well, maybe I can just ask my questions. You can remember that slide.
I can look at it here. I just can't project it.
All right. Your bullet point one that talks about the CFD. The Community Facilities District was created by resolution adopted in July. The legal description is the external boundary of GCSD. I believe that the statement you have on that slide is inaccurate. It means every private parcel is currently in a community facilities district. You have bifurcated the process by then establishing a separate process for annexation into a special tax. So to tell the community that they're not in a CFD is not accurate based on what the board of directors has already done. The CFD legally is described as the external boundaries of the GCSD jurisdiction. Every parcel is subject to going in to the CFD, which is another way of saying Melrose Special Tax District. You then said in the slide that vacant land is what's going to be subject, when they pull the building permit to build on it, to being asked to be annexed in to the Melrose District. As a property owner, if I get a letter from you saying I'm now, quote, eligible to be in the Melrose District, and I write back and say, no, I will not join, what is your response at that point?
When you're pulling a building permit, if you're pulling a building permit for a new residential unit or a new commercial building, then it will be a requirement to provide revenue to the district in the amount of the amount that's calculated in the fiscal impact report. The annexation into the CFD is one way. The establishment of a trust that produces that amount of money is another way.
Okay, let's just stop and go back to what we're discussing, which is the creation of a Melrose district. You have set up six definitions as a criteria for what qualifies for getting a letter that says you're eligible. Has the board of directors rescinded those six definitions? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, then the definitions stand. And if this Melrose district that the district GCSD has created only intended to include vacant land, why do you have five categories that discuss demolition and redevelopment? You don't demolish and you don't redevelop on a vacant parcel. And redevelopment is just a euphemism for reconstruction. And demolish can include a house that's been damaged in fire that has to be torn down. Your criteria establishes under number six a definition that says anything GCSD staff determines is a development impact will trigger a letter being sent to the property owner. Your CFD or your Melrose tax potentially can come to every private parcel in the district. That creates for the real estate industry a requirement to disclose even if they don't have the tax there, potentially any change in the current use of that lot based on your six definitions adopted by your board triggers a letter saying you must join the Mellow Roofs, or we'll ask the county to deny your building permit, and we may even refuse to connect water and sewer. Is that an accurate statement?
That's a statement I'm going to have to confer with the consultant about. I mean, the definitions were not part of the initial creation of this district. I felt extremely uncomfortable with having just the language that was contained within the resolutions and everything else be staff's guide into, hang on, let me.
Your bullet point at the end of that page that you won't show has all that language there that could have been put into the definitions and was not, which was saying that, well, if you do a room addition or if you do a reconstruction, you won't be eligible. You're not, what you put there, what you say verbally does not match up with the official documents the board of directors has adopted. It doesn't work for me to do this. It simply doesn't work for me to do this. You are saying one thing, you are portraying another thing, but your legal documents say every parcel in this district is in a CFD, a Mellow Roofs district, and every parcel in this district, if it changes its current use, can get a letter from the district saying you must now be in Mellow Roofs. A Mellow Roofs formula that is, like this other lady pointed out, is going into a bloated park fund. This is characterized as a fire meeting, but your controversial tax schemes are going after other aspects of district spending that I object to. And you have not vetted this, I hate these mess, you have not vetted these things out. You have not given due process. We have Measure V going on a parallel track to activities that this board of directors has been doing for the last 6 to 9 months to establish an impact fee, a Mellow Roofs district, and you're updating the municipal services review through LAFCO, which creates a nexus to even more justification of expanding our cost as taxpayers. I'm tired of government digging deeper into my wallet to get my money. You need to tighten your belt, and you should have vetted this out. This discussion today, this is 9 months after the fact. This is 3 months or 4 months after the controversial actions that that board of directors took in July to create a Mellow Roofs district, and then they had an ordinance in July, they adopted in August, modified in September. This has been a moving target. This is the most incredible, complex tax schemes I've ever experienced. Mr. Campbell, I'm very disappointed.
Thank you, sir.